It's Thursday, and time to read from your email.
And we start with praise for Robert's piece about Walter Arvinger, a Maryland man who was sentenced to life in prison for a murder he did not commit.
Last month, after spending 36 years behind bars, Arvinger was granted clemency thanks to the work of students and teachers at the University of Maryland Law School.
My heart was broken, writes listener Gary Oliar. And to think that while I was roaming around the country experiencing sights and sounds, he was locked in a prison for a crime he didn't commit. As the saying goes, there but for the grace of God go I.
Fred Mednick of Mercer Island, Washington, sent this. Your piece was extraordinary, and even more so because of what it says about the University of Maryland Law School. I will hold it up as an example of what education should be. There could be no higher testament to learning than this kind of intimate engagement with the stuff of life. Congratulations to Professor Michael Milliman. As a result of his work, Mr. Arvinger was freed and is forever grateful. His students were touched, and I was moved.
On to comments about Barbara Bradley Haggerty's coverage of a lawsuit against the Dover, Pennsylvania School Board. The board had instructed teachers to present intelligent design as an alternative to evolution. Intelligent design proposes that an external intelligence was involved in the world's creation. Parents and the ACLU have sued, saying it brings religion into the schools.
I want to commend you for solid, straightforward reporting, writes Nancy Percy of Lake Ridge, Virginia. The story was fair and balanced and allowed each side to speak for itself.
Aram Durowetsky of Houston, Texas, feels differently. He writes, I listened with horror to your piece on intelligent design. To give equal airtime to such an unsubstantiated hypothesis just gives its supporters the legitimacy they lack in the real world.
My observation yesterday that cell phones have changed public behavior caught the ear of listener Peter Seymour. He writes, you aptly noted that until recent years, a person walking down the street alone while speaking aloud would have been considered delusional. But now, since the spread of cell phones, we've become inured to such aural phenomena. The transformation of the social soundscape has had a notable impact on blind individuals, such as myself. And he continues, time was, walking down the street and hearing somebody near me say, hello, how are you doing? Could easily and correctly be interpreted as a considerate reaching out. Alas, those days are gone. After several incidents of mistakenly answering with, I'm fine, and you? And then hearing the phone conversation continue, I've adopted the habit of not responding until I'm reasonably sure that I am the focus of the greeting. So if the blind people you've been greeting seem more detached than they used to be, on their behalf and mine, let me belatedly beg your pardon and say, hello, no, I'm not deaf too, just thought you were talking on the phone.
Finally today, this response to Melissa Block's conversation with singer Beth Nielsen Chapman. Her new CD features traditional Catholic hymns. It brought back memories for a number of listeners, including Dr. Tim Whitman.
I heard the program while driving home and had to pull over to listen, he writes. It brought back a flood of emotions that I haven't experienced since childhood. I could smell the wax of the tall altar candles and the incense, feel the weight of the heavy brass book that I carried for our priest, and hear the shuffling footsteps and creaking of pews as the congregation moved forward to receive Holy Communion.
We'd like to hear what you think of our show. Write to us. The address is atc@npr.org. And please tell us where you live and how to pronounce your name. Oh, peace. Oh.